I told you this series is, we call it radical because we're making changes. We're going to do some things, not changes just to make changes, but to first off to get us to understand that we need to get out of our comfort zone. And because one little thing changes doesn't mean that the world's going to come crashing to an end. You know what I'm saying? That it's okay to make a change here and there. It's okay to make some adjustments because that's what being a follower of Christ is. Whenever you're following Jesus, one thing that never changes is Him. One thing that always changes is our circumstances, if we're a true follower. Because God's going to put people in our path, and we're going to have to figure out, okay, God, how can I witness to them? How can I share you with them? And then, you know, Jesus is going to move us and put us in difficult situations. And sometimes trials are just going to come our way, not because God wants to punish us, but He wants to use us for His testimony. And so changes, man, I mean changes. How many here like change? Do you? Good. I really don't like change. So when I come here, it's a little torturous for me too to do all these changes, and because I'm taken out of my comfort zone. I didn't even bring my notebook today. I just brought a piece of paper, and so I'm making a few changes. It won't last. I'll go back, you know. But I'm just showing you that change is okay. And today, what we're going to talk about. The title of today's sermon is Fan or Follower? Are you a fan of God or are you a follower of Jesus Christ? See, there's a huge difference. So many people have religion and they're a fan of God. They're a fan of religion. They're a fan of what their rituals are. But if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, now it's going to get uncomfortable. Now some things are going to change. And you have to change with it to maintain your testimony. I think of Whitney Houston, who just passed away. Anybody that has a radio or TV or can look up watching airplanes fly over, it seems like it's everywhere. I mean, you can't get away from Whitney Houston. And you know, she claims to be a Christian. She claimed to have known Jesus Christ as her Savior. She claims that she, that's who she was, but her life was completely opposite of that. And sometimes I wonder, and I don't know if she was saved or not, and I'm not going to be her judge because God knows her heart, but sometimes I wonder if she was saved, if God just took her home because she had a poor testimony. And God said, I've had enough. And He just shut her down. Because let's face it, guys, one day, every one of us are going to breathe our last breath. And I just hope I go out a little more on top than with crack and drowning in a tub. You know? I hope I go out on top going, man, that dude was a follower of Jesus Christ. Not a fan. He was a follower. Of course, when we go, well, what's the difference? How many remember the Grateful Dead? Yeah, okay, I'm going back old school. You're in denial. some of you are just in denial. I never listened to them. I know I'm getting old. That makes me dizzy now. and you know, they had fans and they had followers, didn't they? Their fans went to concerts. Their fans bought memorabilia. Their fans got autographs. Their fans told people, you know, hey, you got to listen to them. Their fans bought their records. But the followers, how many here was a deadhead? Close. Thought about it. Dreamed about it. Thought, wow, that would be so cool to just get rid of your whole life and follow this band across the country. That's what deadheads did. I mean, literally, they got rid of everything, and this became their passion. They were followers. All right, how many like Star Trek? Yeah, okay. Chewbacca, right? Okay, I can't make the noise. I'm not even going to... Oh, I'm sorry, Star Wars. I like Star Trek.
You're obviously not a follower.
Or a fan. I am neither fan nor follower of Star Wars. Star Trek, yes. The Vulcan pinch, nerve pinch. The, you know, pull out the radio, Spock and Captain, I've given it all she's got. If I give her any more, she'll blow. I'm a fan of Star Trek. Not a follower, just a fan. But Star Wars. Okay, how many like Star Wars? Nice. More Star Trekkies than Star Wars. I love it. Okay. But you know what? Chewbacca. You guys know who Chewbacca was, right? In Star Wars? And he had that, whatever he did, I can't do it. And, but you know, they had, he was a Wookiee. A Wookiee, right? W-O-O-K-I-E-E, isn't that how you pronounce it? A Wookiee? Well, then we had Wookiees out there. They weren't just fans of Chewbacca, man. They were followers. They refused to shave. They refused to bath. And that's what they did. They went out to be a Chewbacca. Some of you are looking at your kids like, oh, you're a Wookiee. Listen, that's what they did, though. They were followers, man. They were Wookiees. And they just became hairy all over. And so when we look at the world, man, we look at life, we see that there are fans and there are followers everywhere, aren't there? But there are also fans and followers of Jesus Christ. And it's amazing, though, how what we've done. I went down to the bookstore. And when I went down to the bookstore, because what we've done is we've really labeled following Jesus Christ in the fan category. You know, we've taken what should be a follower and we said, oh, well, listen, you know, this is the description of a follower, and really it's just a fan. We've watered down the gospel. We have simplified. What we've done is we've taken this whole book and we've simplified it into a little tract. Now, how many know what a tract is? You know, we call them tracts, but it's T-R-A-C-T-S, tracts. And I went down and I went, okay, let me go look at some of these tracts. Now, I could have bought a lot more, but I only chose to buy two of them. Well, the one I thought was real interesting is, most of all, Jesus loves you. You know, sometimes being a follower, if you're a fan of Jesus, you can say that really easy, and it's pretty cool. It's a cool deal. But if you're a follower of Jesus, it doesn't always feel that way, does it? If you're a follower of Jesus, sometimes you go, what am I doing, man? I know as a pastor, and since I came to New York, right now it doesn't matter to me anymore. I guess I was just kind of blown out of the water when I first got here. And when people would find out I was a pastor, they would just quit talking to me. Just walk away. Conversation ended. And in my mind, I'm going, really? I mean, we were having great conversation. What? They would just walk away from me. We would go to the school and volunteer our time and help out. And my wife would be having a conversation with some of the other ladies that were helping out. And I would just stand back waiting for, you know, what men do. Okay, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. That was one of those days. And I was just standing there and I'm watching my wife talk to some of the ladies. And in my mind I went, they've not asked her where she's from and what brought her here yet. Because where are you from? You have an accent. What brought you here? Of course, God brought us here. My husband's a pastor of a church. He came to start a church. That would be the normal answer. So they're still talking, and I go, they haven't asked her yet. And the next thing I know, I see the ladies walk away, and my wife would be working all alone. And I go, she told them why we're here. I'm not even kidding you. That's what would happen. And so it would be the craziest thing. And that's when you go, you just keep going. And you know, man, you're just a follower, because when the pressure starts coming on, you just keep going for Jesus. Well, we've minimized the gospel really to a great degree. Most of all, Jesus loves you. And so here's the whole track. Now, mind you, this is for kids. Always remember, mama loves you and daddy loves you. Your brother loves you and your sister loves you. Your grandma loves you, and your grandpa loves you. Your aunts and uncles love you, and your cousins love you, and your friends love you. But most of all, Jesus loves you. Now, if you want to go to heaven when you die, and you'd like to ask Jesus to live in your heart and be your Savior, just pray this prayer. No scripture. Where's the power? Where's the power is in the Word of God. And so I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. You know, just get there on love, because it's all about love. Well, then I found this one, which I thought, all right, who wouldn't like an American Idol track? Right? Who's your idol? And then they get here as it goes through the stuff. It talks about being on reality TV and real TV and celebrities and so on and so forth. And then it gets to the back and it says this. Jesus Christ becomes not only your Savior, but your idol as well. Make Him so, and you will, listen to this, and you will not need to prove yourself to God again. Just make Him your idol and it's over. Done. Guys, we've taken the gospel and brought it down to nothing. Nothing. And we wonder why people struggle to live a Christian life. We wonder why Christians go, I just can't do this anymore. Where's God? Where's Jesus? Where's this life that they promised me of love and prosperity? In heaven. You're not there yet. Well, I'm getting too old to go through this. Listen, you're too old when you take your last breath. Then you're done. Until then, you're not done. Well, Jesus calls us to a greater work. And can you make sure that that is set right? Because it feels like his temperature is dropping. Is everybody okay in here temperature-wise? Nice. Leave it alone. I'll wait until I see blue lips. Okay. Don't you love it? It's what, 25 degrees outside and it is 25 degrees inside. We have air conditioning on and nobody's complaining. Praise Jesus. All right, I want everybody to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. We're going to be in verses 18 through 20. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. We're going to look at a process that we see Jesus took the disciples through. And you know, I think what we've done as a church, as an American church, an Americanized church, you know, because I'll be quite honest with you, the majority of Americans are spoiled little brats. And the government wants to keep you that way. They want to keep you thinking that you're entitled to something you didn't work for. And they want to keep you thinking that you deserve more than you do deserve. And they want you to keep thinking that that you're not held responsible for your own actions. And that's what our society is pushing, is that mentality. And Jesus says, you know what? That's not the way it is. And so I'm going to show you how the church is set up. I'm going to show you the beginning of setting up the church. Literally, this is the beginning of setting up the church right here. In verses 18 through 20, Matthew chapter 4, 18 through 20. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Now, here's what they had. Because some of you guys, you think you're fishermen, but you haven't cast a pole yet. You got it in your garage, but you haven't thrown it out in the water in 20 years. You're not a fisherman. Some of you bought the rimmed hat with all the little lures and the things on it. You know, who's got that? Come on. Who's got it? Okay. Who's not going to tell us they have it? There you go. So we have some who, oh, I like to fish. Well, there's a huge difference. These guys were fishermen. They were out there fishing. And here's what Jesus said. He said, I want you to follow me. And then here's what he said in verse 19. Then he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. What happened? They immediately, what'd they do? Immediately dropped their nets and followed him. They dropped their living, they dropped their nets, and they followed him. Immediately, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 28. So just go to the right of the book of Matthew, to chapter 28. Last chapter, 19 and 20. So he says, I want you to follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And then he ends with this. So he began his ministry with, follow, drop your nets, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And then he ends his earthly ministry with these words. This is right before he was taken up and the last words before he was taken up into heaven to be with the Father. Verses 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So the first word that he says is not, by the way, it's not a recommendation. You notice the first word there is not a recommendation. The first word in verse 19 is what?
Go.
Go. Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And then that's how he begins, and then he ends with go. Go. I've equipped you, I've taught you. And by the way, for those that have not been equipped and taught, he's talking to us who have been, and he says, go and make disciples. That's win people to Jesus. Of all the nations, that means, look, you know what? You're not supposed to be pick and choose who you want in heaven. You're not supposed to discriminate. He didn't discriminate. He said, everybody. Everybody. You know what that means? Everybody. From red, white, yellow, green, blue, to crackheads, alcoholics, whoremongers, adulterers, everybody. Everybody. Do you know why everybody? Because everybody's going to die one day. And everybody needs a Savior. And you can sit there and think all you want, well, I'm not going to die. Well, you're not thinking. You're a crackhead. I mean, you got to be something if you think you're not going to die. You're not thinking right. There's one day you're going to die. And then you go, well, you know what? I don't need a Savior. I've done quite fine on my own. Really? Who gave you the breath to breathe? Who gave you the air? Who gave you the thought? Who gave you life? My mama. Who gave your mama life? You see what I'm saying? Guys, we're not independent people. Oh, our pride makes us independent, but we're not independent people. And so he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and teach people that. Don't call them crackheads, they'll be offended. But you need to go and teach people that. You need to teach them the gospel. You need to teach them the truth. Because the truth is, everybody's going to draw their last breath one day. And what you do from the time you get your first breath to the time you take your last breath, what you do for Christ is all that matters. Everything else becomes wood, hay, stubble. It's burned up. It's no good. And so I find it interesting that he starts his ministry with follow me, and then he ends it with go and teach now. And there's a lot in between, so we got to read. I don't have time because I know you guys don't want to sit here until 3 o'clock. To go over it all, but that's really what he said. Jesus says, listen, you know me, now go and make me known. So I think about these fans and these followers, and then I start thinking about, okay, who in the Bible is a fan and who in the Bible is a follower? Acts chapter 8, go to Acts. It's just to the right of Matthew. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. A-C-T-S. And it's chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Verses 9 through 23. I find this really very interesting. And he says, but there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with the sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. So here's what we have. We have a sorcerer who was deceiving all the people in the town. And then Philip comes in, he preaches the gospel. Everybody believes. They get baptized. They receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. They realize, and he, including Simon, goes, wow, you know what? This is the greater power. And so he believes. Now look here in 14. We're going to find out if he was a fan or a follower. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, He offered them money. Give me this power, he says. And of course, we see here that Peter said unto him in verse 20, but Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. And then he says, repent for your wickedness. I think Simon was a fan. He was intrigued by the idea. It says that he believed, so there's no question he got saved. And you know what? There's several of you in here who you believed you got saved and you're a fan. You're simply a fan of Jesus. You're nothing more than a fan of Jesus. You're not a follower, you're a fan. And you go, well, I love Jesus. That's because there's no pressure behind you yet. There's no pressure on you. There's nothing that's come upon you yet to really challenge your faith where you're going to say, am I a follower or am I a fan? I have to make this decision. You've not been put in that position yet. Some of you have. But there's going to come a day. With Simon, the day came out of his greed. It wasn't greed for money, it was greed for power. I want this power, man. I'll buy it from you. Peter says, are you crazy? Your heart's not right with God. You need to repent. And there's some of us in here. Our heart's not right with God because all we do is ask for things, but yet we're not willing to give anything. You would be the Simon the Sorcerer. A fan, not a follower. Then let's look in John. Go back to the left just a few pages to John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, we see Mary Magdalene, and it's 12:1 is where we're going to be, 1 through 8. And he says here in John chapter 12, verse 1, he says, then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. And of course, you remember Martha would have been the fan, wouldn't she? Because she was busy, oh, I love Jesus, come on in, Jesus, and then she's busy doing her own thing. And Mary, she would have been the follower because she took a total different approach, and here we see what happens in verse 2. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard. And if you look into the history books and you search this out, that pound literally would have been a year's wages. She took enough perfume that would have taken a year's wages to purchase, and this is what she did. She anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, this is just a fan, by the way, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had money and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you did not have always. And so we see a huge difference from Simon the sorcerer, who was willing to buy the power of God. And then we see Mary, who said, you know what? Man, there is nothing more costly than my Jesus. And man, she was sold out. And then you see Judas Iscariot in the same story, who said, I don't care about Jesus' feet, man. We should have got some money for that. You're seeing the difference between a fan and a follower? You know, that's what I want you to see today. And then what we do is we go, hey, you know what? That was back then, man. Those are old stories. No, these are old events. And the difference between stories and events is events really happen, but not all stories really happen. The Bible's full of old events. Let us not confuse that. And Jesus tells us, listen, you know what? Your mission, here's your mission as a follower, is you are to go out and help people follow. That's your mission. As a follower, you're to go out and help people follow. Well, I'm too shy to share Jesus. That wasn't your mission. He didn't say your mission is to stay hidden in your house with the blinds drawn and never talk to your neighbors. He's saying your mission is to get out there. Well, I haven't been called to China. No, you may not have been called to China, but I guarantee you've been called to go across the street. Or across the office. I guarantee you've been called to share Jesus with somebody. No, I haven't. Well, then you're a fan. And are you really saved? Remember we talked about the three seats? Are you sure you're not in the natural man seat? Well, I just can't share Jesus. Well, I believe you're sitting here. Because I'm going to tell you what, if somebody gave you $1 million and said, listen, for every friend you tell, I'll give them $1 million too. It'd be actually $1 million also, not $1 million too. But you get what I'm saying? What would you do? Man, you'd be running. Look, come here. Oh, God, just come with me. Oh, yeah, oh, I don't even know you, but come on, let's go, man. We're ready to give everybody $1 million, aren't we? And here we got where we can give them life, and we're not even willing to give them life, which is far more important than $1 million. What is wrong with our thinking? Nothing's wrong with our thinking, because the problem's here. The problem's not up here, guys. The problem's in here. It's a heart problem. It's a heart condition. It's a hard heart. Of course, I've been telling you guys for probably 2 years, 3 years to read these books. Jesus Freaks, if you haven't gotten it, you need to go out and get it. Warning, though, will definitely create conviction. And will definitely break your heart all in the same time. I'm going to show you the difference between a fan and a follower. Here's the difference between a fan and a follower. This is Chu Chen Hsu and Ho Shu Zhu. Obviously, I'm not Chinese, so this is mainland China. During the Red Guard area, 1966 to 1969, it was in that era. The two Christian girls waited in the Chinese prison yard for the announced execution. A fellow prisoner who watched the scene from his prison cell described their faces as pale but beautiful beyond belief. Infinitely sad but sweet. Humanly speaking, they were fearful, but they had decided to submit to death without renouncing their faith. Flanked by renegade guards, the executioner came with a revolver in his hand. It was their own pastor. He had been sentenced to die with the two girls, but as on many other occasions in church history, the persecutors worked on him, tempting him. They promised to release him if he would shoot the girls. He accepted. The girls whispered to each other, then bowed respectfully before their pastor. One of them said, "Before you shoot us, we wish to thank you heartily for what you have meant to us. You baptized us. You taught us the ways of eternal life. You gave us Holy Communion with the same hand in which you now hold the gun. You also taught us that Christians are sometimes weak and commit terrible sins, but they can be forgiven again. When you regret what you are about to do to us, do not despair like Judas, but repent like Peter. God bless you, and remember that our last thought was not one of indignation against your failure. Everyone passes through hours of darkness. May God reward you for all the good you have done to us. We die with gratitude." They bowed again. The pastor's heart was hardened. He shot the girls. Afterwards, he was shot by the communists. Fan and a follower. What you're going to find out in your walk with God is the same thing. You're going to sacrifice God. You're going to sacrifice Jesus. You're going to sacrifice the relationship. And you know what the world's still going to do? They're still going to hand you the same junk they were going to hand you before you sacrificed God for whatever cost it was you sacrificed Him. It's not going to change, guys. It's not going to change. They put scripture here in the 1 Corinthians 13, and nobody, I'll just read it. You guys don't have to worry about it. It says, love, God's love in us, takes no account of the evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under the circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. That's God's love. And if you love God, and if you understand who your Savior is, then you have that kind of love that 1 Corinthians right there was just talking about. If you love Jesus Christ and you say, you know what? Because guys, I'm going to tell you, is the day going to come where you'll have to take and be stood in front of a firing line? Probably not. Why does it cost others so much and us so little to be a Christian? I don't have the answer. I don't know. Grace. When I look at history and I look at the Bible, and then I look at history of the world, and I look at America, and I look at all the other countries, we were so blessed because God was at the forefront of every decision that we made as a nation, as our government, everything. We were blessed. And then, as you've seen, when they started taking prayer out of school, because that really was the beginning, they started taking prayer out of school. And as you've seen the digression of taking prayer out of school and then taking God out of things, and then just as we see it evolve, and of course now we see where they're taking God off the money. Can't pray, can't Tebow. Right? We're seeing it. It's amazing when you read the news and find out what's happening. A lady lost her job at a clinic that she worked at because they were turning it into an abortion clinic, and she refused to be part of it. She lost her job. Another lady who was in another clinic who would help couples through their rough patches or whatever, a homosexual couple came in. She refused to counsel them. She said, "I can't counsel you because everything you want to do goes against everything I believe." She lost her job. It's coming. It's coming to America. Will you ever experience it? It depends on if you're going to be a fan or a follower. That's really going to determine whether you experience it. Some of you say, "Well, man, I've never felt anything go against me." You're a fan. Because you've not stood for God. If nothing comes against you, then you've stood for nothing. Where are you at? As I look through this book, and I've read through these cover to cover, and I'll be honest with you, sometimes you just got to put it down for a little while, and then you need to pick it back up to be reminded. This one they titled, "Unwilling to Pay the Price." And this could be some of you. Natasha Lazareva, USSR, circa 1970s. The communists held two photos before Natasha's eyes. And one showed Ada Kryptchikova in the movie star beauty of her youth. The second showed the terrible effects of Soviet prison life. Ada's youthful loveliness was gone. She smiled with cracked lips and a pale face. She looked like an old woman. The contrast between the two photos was so overwhelming that Natasha had to look away. Natasha, the creator of a Russian Christian underground magazine, had already been sent to jail once. When she was released, she began printing the magazine again, secretly, and again she was arrested. This time, she could be given a heavy sentence. The communists then showed her the picture of another young Catholic, of a young Catholic nun, followed by one of her drab face when she was freed. They showed her a picture of another woman who, by the age of 21, had lost all her teeth and hair because of the poor food and lack of sunlight while confined to her prison cell and working in the slave labor camps. "This is what awaits you," they told Natasha, "unless you cooperate with us and denounce all your co-workers." To save her own physical beauty, Natasha gave the communists the names of 50 other Christians. She put her co-workers in the underground church at risk for prison and torture. She was still sentenced to 6 years in prison. Gave in and gained nothing. Guys, you give in to the world, you're going to gain nothing. Nothing. You go, "Well, you know what? It eases my pain." For how long? For how long? And then can you live with what happened to the 50 others that you turned in who was trying to do something for God? As we look at this and we unfold this, and then we see, you know, the first two names we looked up were Peter and Andrew, right? Andrew. Andrew was killed on the cross. Peter was killed. And when Peter was killed, they were going to put him on the cross. And he said, no, don't put me on the cross. I don't deserve to die the way my Savior died. Crucify me upside down. And so they hung him upside down and crucified him upside down. There's one other one that I want to share with you. And this one, if I can find it, is about Polycarp. Polycarp was a follower of Jesus. And they arrested him for following Jesus. And they were going to put him on the they were going to burn him alive. And when they were going to burn him alive, they were going to tie him to the stake. And he said, no, no, don't tie me to the stake. Because the God that keeps me will keep me in the midst of the fire. You don't need to tie me there. I'll willingly stand. And so they created this huge area of wood, and they put a stake up, and they tied his hands behind him, and he just stood in the middle of this wood. And they lit the pile on fire. And as it burned and it raged, and it says that the flames were higher than he was tall, almost by double. It said that you could hear the roar of the flames. And as they're looking at Polycarp, he yet remains unburned. In the midst of the fire, it said it was like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where they were into the fiery furnace and Jesus was in there with them. And he delivered them. Why? Because they stood for him. Guys, I'm telling you that when you take a stand for Jesus Christ, he'll deliver you. And if he doesn't deliver you here on earth, he delivers you when you get to heaven. And it said that Polycarp just stood there and watched his people as they watched him in the fire, and yet he wasn't burning. Then he was ordered to be stabbed with a sword. And it says that the soldier ran up and thrust the sword into his side. And it said that so much blood came out, it actually extinguished the fire. And everybody stood in awe. That's God. You say, well, man, that wasn't a good ending. Yes, it was. God was glorified, and so was Polycarp. I want you to know that as you stand here today, the reality of it is that you might have to go through some stuff to help people follow Jesus. You may have to go through some junk. But followers help people follow. Are you a follower of Christ? And you say, well, hey, how can we help people follow? I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians is to the right. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 6. Well, I'll start in verse 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Guys, here's what's going to happen. Our job is to plant and water. What does that look like? Sharing the love of Christ. talking about Jesus, sharing what Jesus did, who Jesus is, and what Jesus can do for them. Because the reality of it is, they're going to die just like you and I are going to die. And so how do we help them? We plant, we water. We sow seed, and then we water the seed. We plant so somebody else can water. We water what somebody else has planted. But understand, there's going to be a cost somewhere. There very well may be a high cost. And as I thought about, man, you know, I really want you guys to see what a fan and a follower of Jesus Christ looks like. And so as I thought about it and thought about it, and then I shared with my wife what I wanted to do, and I said, you know, I hope that it doesn't sound, I hope it's not too corny or whatever I said to her. Corny is not a hip word today, is it, young people? But it's a word that I know, and so I use it. And I thought, you know, I'm going to try my best to show you the difference between a fan and a follower. And I gave stories. And I normally don't ever give that many stories. I normally just go into scriptures. You guys know I just go into scriptures and I expound them. But today was more topical. And I know some of you guys are going, really, a fan? Turn off the air. But I thought about this. And I thought, wow. And by the way, my wife's going to kill me because I took a pair of scissors to her pom-pom. And but I'll buy you another one, babe. Seriously. I don't know when, but it'll be soon. As soon as you remind me what I did, I'll get you a new one. So I thought about, wow, what does it look like to be a follower and a fan? And how appropriate to get a fan, right? A fan, it doesn't take a whole lot. They're a fan today, and they're not tomorrow. And so when you're a fan, this is ultimately what happens to you. You're just kind of put into the realm, and you know, you just eventually, you what? You just blow away. That's a fan. You just eventually blow away. Not a whole lot to you. You may have believed in Jesus at one point, but you don't live for him. And therefore, your love is going to diminish, and so will living for him diminish. Because you're just a fan. And you know, for fans, look at all the groupies and everything. Listen, it comes and it goes. And then you still have some. They're just hanging on because they can't grow up. So there's still some deadheads out there and some Chewbaccas out there, some Wookiees. But when I think about a follower, because see, a fan is out here looking in. But here's a follower. And when a follower follows, here's what happens. They're there. They're there. You're not going to get it off. You're not going to get them to quit following. They're there. And every time something happens, see, you got to take away Jesus to get that follower away. But you can't take away Jesus. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. He lives forever. He was born before time began, and he'll be here when time ends. You can't take Jesus away. And so, if you're a follower, you follow. You come in behind and you follow. And then you're there, I'm sure. That's a follower. You can be a fan, or you can be a follower. If you're a follower, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you something. Some of you have already paid a price. If you're a fan, you just get to enjoy the ride until it's over. And then it's over. But if you're a follower, you're locked in. And it's never over, because when you take your last breath, you're with your Savior. The glory of heaven. That's the difference between a fan and a follower. And today, a follower is radical. But I like radical. Gives a little action in there, you know. You don't get bored. Listen, when I get bored, I'll go tell somebody about Jesus. Guaranteed around here, it'll spice it up. Go down to Home Depot. Hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Do what? Last night I went and visited a friend, and he shared with me some really intimate details of his life. He trusts me. And he looked at me and he said, "In my life, I've only shared that with two people, and you're one of them." And I thought about that for a minute. And the stories that he shared with me of the things that happened to him and his family were just breaking my heart. I mean, absolutely just breaking my heart. And I sat there and I looked at him and I said, "You're missing one thing. One thing, man. And you've done all of this, and you've done so much good. And man, I applaud you for the steps you've taken to step up and take care of your family and the things that you've done, man. It's really, truly amazing. I'll just tell you, it's amazing by anybody's standards. But you need one thing. You're missing." And he goes, "What?" I said, "You need Jesus." And he looked at me, and I looked at him, and then he just got up and walked away. I thought, "Oh God, how can I get him to see? How can I get my friend to see his need for a Savior? I don't know." Some of you might have the same problem. But being a follower means you never quit. You just never quit. Being a fan, you come and go. You have to decide. And then live it. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just come before you. Lord, I'm ever so humbled so many times when I do look at my friends and I look at my family. And Lord, I know that they're going to go to hell, Lord. And yet, Lord, if I would do anything, Lord, too. Lord, I would do anything to bring them to you. So, Lord, I just ask that you give me the peace to deal with those that walk away. And, Lord, help me to have the joy of those who say yes. But, Lord, more than anything, that I'll always be a follower. Lord, right now, I just pray for those that are in this room. Lord, I know that there's some in here that are fans. Lord, I know there's some in here that are followers. And Lord, I know there's some in here that, Lord, they don't know Jesus. And Lord, if they were to die, Lord, they're going to go to hell. And so, Lord, right now I just ask that you would work on the hearts of each and every person in here today, Lord. Lord, that you would help them answer the question, if they're a fan, or if they're a follower, or Lord, if they're just lost and without you. Lord, just convict their heart. And Lord, may you get the glory. May you get the glory in everything. With every head remaining bowed, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can change that right now. You say, "How?" You have to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you believe with your heart. Then it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. So you have to believe with your heart and then you have to confess. If today you recognize you need a Savior, and today God has just pricked your heart, and He's telling you right now, surrender to me, die to me, give yourself up to me right now, and I will give you life. If that is you, you pray this prayer. Mind you, the prayer doesn't save you, your heart attitude, but also remember this, that when you ask Jesus to be your Savior, it comes with a price. The price is being a follower. Being a fan is an option, but not the best one. And so you pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, right now I just lay myself at your feet. I realize that there's no way I can get to heaven without you. But I also realize that by asking you to be my Savior, that there's going to be a cost. I realize that there's going to be more required of my life, that it may not be a walk of all good and fun, but there really could be a serious cost. But Lord, I believe you're true and I believe you're real. And so right now, I ask Jesus to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins that I would have eternal life.